reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you today about stepping heavenward. Most of you love stories. I love stories. I especially love stories that urge me on to higher spiritual ground, a deeper understanding of God's love and His wonderful patience with me. Some time ago, I gave you the story of Elizabeth Prentice's life, and in another series, I read you some of her best-known book, Stepping Heavenward. Mrs. Prentice was born in 1818. She died in 1878, so that was a long time ago. Has she got anything to say to us? Will it make any sense to us? Well, I'm here to say yes, 1,000 times yes. The ancient principles do not change. Human nature does not change. Not since the first humans were created. We stumble and bumble along, hoping for the best, doing our own thing. But when God gets hold of us, He begins transforming our lives, shaping us. Romans 8:29 says that we must be shaped to the image of His Son. God is constantly helping us to step heavenward, one day at a time. Now, what are those steps? For you who may be new Christians, new listeners, I welcome you, and I do thank you for tuning in. And I want to assure you that God loves you with an everlasting love. And His ultimate purpose for each of us is joy. Did you know that? God's ultimate purpose for you and me is joy, fullness of joy. That's something this world can never give you. It might give you some fun. It might give you a little happiness here and there. But it's never going to give you joy. Joy which is unspeakable and full of glory, the Bible says. And right here, I just want to tell you why I named my program Gateway to Joy. It's simply because I really do believe with all my heart that every experience, if offered to Jesus, can be your gateway to joy. I'm going to say that again. I believe that every experience, if offered to Jesus, can be your gateway to joy. I do believe that God has a purpose in every single thing that He ever allows to happen in our lives. And some of you would challenge me on that. You would say, Elizabeth Elliott, are you going to tell me that this terrible thing which has happened in my life has something to do with the will of God? I'm going to say yes. I'm going to tell you that. Remember, we live in a fallen world. We live in an evil world. We are sinners ourselves. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. But God is still on His throne. I love what Janet Erskine Stewart said. A small seed of sorrow turns into a great tree of joy. A small seed of sorrow turns into a great tree of joy. Now, I want to explain a little bit about what kind of a book this is, this Stepping Heavenward book. It is ostensibly a diary beginning when the girl is 16 years old. And I suppose that Elizabeth Prentice expected the book to be taken as fiction. But one can hardly escape the possibility that it is autobiographical. At any rate, it's the story of a young girl beginning at the age of 16, going through all the stages of life. Her problems with her mother when she's a teenager, then a boyfriend who comes along and she thinks maybe she's going to marry this man. She becomes engaged to him, but the engagement is broken. And then she marries another man, and when she marries that man, it isn't very long before she's taking care of in-laws in her home. And then we have the stories of childbirth and sorrows of all sorts. But in each event, she is stepping heavenward, moving a little bit more toward Jesus Christ and becoming more and more of his likeness. So I'm going to read to you some pages from this book. She's writing in her diary, February 10th, "What a beautiful world this is and how full it is of truly kind, good people. Mrs. Morris was here this morning, and just one squeeze of that long, yellow, old hand of hers seemed to speak a book full. I wonder why I have always disliked her so, for she is really an excellent woman. I gave her a good kiss to pay her for the sympathy she had sense enough not to put into canting words. And if you will believe it, dear old journal, the tears came into her eyes, and she said, 'You are one of the Lord's beloved ones, though perhaps you do not know it.' I repeated again to myself those sweet, mysterious words, and then I tried to think what I could do for him. But I could not think of anything great or good enough. I went into Mother's room and put my arms around her and told her how I loved her. She looked surprised and pleased. 'Ah, I knew it would come,' she said, laying her hand on her Bible. 'Knew what would come, Mother?' 'Peace,' she said. I came back here and wrote a little note to Amelia telling her how ashamed and sorry I was that I could not control myself the other day. Then I wrote a long letter to James. I had been very careless about writing to him. Then I began to hem those handkerchiefs Mother asked me to finish a month ago. But I could not think of anything to do for God. I wish I could. It makes me so happy to think that all this time, while I was caring for nobody but myself and fancying he must almost hate me, he was loving and pitying me.' Then in another passage, she says, 'Mother spoke to me this morning for the 50th time, I really believe, about my disorderly habits. I don't think I am careless because I like confusion, but the trouble is I am always in a hurry and a ferment about something. If I want anything, I want it very much, and I want it right away. So if I am looking for a book or a piece of music or a pattern, I tumble everything around, and I can't stop to put them to rights. I wish I were not so eager and impatient. But I mean to try to keep my room and my drawers in order to please Mother. She says, too, that I am growing careless about my hair and my dress. But that is because my mind is so full of graver, more important things. I thought I ought to be wholly occupied with my duty to God. But Mother says duty to God includes duty to one's neighbor. And that untidy hair, put up in all sorts of rough bunches, rumpled cuffs and collars, and all that sort of thing, make one offensive to all one meets. I'm sorry she thinks so, but I find it very convenient to twist up my hair almost anyhow, and it takes a good deal of time to look after collars and cuffs. Today, I feel discouraged and disappointed. I certainly thought that if God really loved me, and I really loved him, I should find myself growing better day by day. But I am not improved in the least. Most of the time I spend on my knees, I'm either stupid, feeling nothing at all, or else my head is full of what I was doing before I began to pray, or what I am going to do as soon as I get through. I do not believe anybody else in the world is like me in this respect. Then when I feel differently and can make a nice, glib prayer with floods of tears running down my cheeks, I get all puffed up and I think how much pleased God must be to see me so fervent in spirit. I go downstairs in this mood and I begin to scold Susan for misplacing my music, till all of a sudden I catch myself doing it and stop short, crestfallen and confounded. I have so many experiences that I feel like a baby just learning to walk, who is so afraid of falling that it has half a mind to sit down once for all. Then there's another thing. Seeing Mother so fond of Thomas A. Kempis, I have been reading it now and then, and I am not fond of it at all. From beginning to end, it exhorts to self-denial in every form and shape. Must I then give up all hope of happiness in this world and modify all my natural tastes and desires? Oh, I do so love to be happy, and I do so hate to suffer. The very thought of being sick or being forced to nurse sick people with all their cross ways and of losing my friends or of having to live with disagreeable people makes me shudder. I want to please God and to be like Him. I certainly do. But I am so young, and it is so natural to want to have a good time. And now I am in for it, I may as well tell the whole story. When I read the lives of good men and women who have died and gone to heaven, I find they all like to sit and think about God and about Christ. Now, I don't. I often try, but my mind flies off in a tangent. The truth is, I am perfectly discouraged. That's the end of the reading for today. But I would like to ask you, you young girls who are listening, you mothers, how do you think we step heavenward? If not, by learning all these lessons that this girl is learning. I'll read some more for you tomorrow.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.